Hey everyone, we want to take a moment to tell you about the sponsor of this podcast, Roosevelt's.
You may know Roosevelt's as the company who makes those rad all over print button downs with just about every franchise that you love.
They of course have Star Wars, because this is a Star Wars podcast, but they also have Harry Potter, Disney, Pixar, Marvel, NASA, WWE, The Office, Nickelodeon, Rick and Morty, Friends, all kinds of other stuff, including new lines from Yellowstone and The Godfather.
And not just button-downs, but t-shirts, they do shorts, jackets, hoodies, koozies, flannels, so many different kinds of items, so many dope designs. So if you're interested in picking something up for the first time, go to rsvlts.com and use promo code THANKTHEMAKER with no spaces to get 20% off your first purchase. Once again, that's rsvlts.com. Use promo code THANKTHEMAKER to get 20% off of your first purchase.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello there, and welcome to Thank the Maker, a podcast about heroes, princesses, scoundrels, hokey religions, ancient weapons, and all things Star Wars. I'm Adam Russell.
Hey guys, somehow I returned. I'm Ryan Key.
Hey everyone, Nick Ganbarian here. And you guys there, what's up?
Somehow, everyone's returning.
Somehow!
Left and right. So many returns. It's the return, turn. Shout out.
Man, I'm pumped to get into this episode.
It's pretty dope. It is pretty dope.
Yeah.
It was a special one.
I'm going to be honest. I'm usually really good about kind of like eating my cereal, doing whatever I'm doing, and getting situated and being 100% focused when I hit play. Today, I was not, and it got into it so fast. I was like, what? Yeah. What?
I do feel like it was fast. If I could say anything, I'm not saying anything bad, whatever. It felt to me a little unearned, like we didn't earn it yet, but it was just there. You know, like we were kind of left with like the smallest crumb at the end of the last episode, and then it was here. It was like when we got Ahsoka right away in The Mandalorian. We're like, oh, it's happening right now. You know, like the first time we see her.
But I don't want to take away from the intelligence of 7-year-old kids. Okay, I don't. I'm going to have a 7-year-old kid now in 7 years, and I hope he's wicked smart. But you know what you get what I'm getting at here? It's 20 minutes. You gotta go. Like, hey, here's the next part of the story. Follow along. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, even though we're getting this unreal moment in the Bad Batch with a lightsaber, there's a giant sea monster. Like, we're still living in this as 40 plus year old men enjoying something that's made for 7-year-olds. That's my only defense.
Eight-year-olds, dude.
My defense would just be that, like, they got to get right into it. They have to. You know, it's like the slow burn isn't going to play with the younger audience.
It's the balance. Hey, speaking of, is that a segue? Cool. So the entire episode takes place on Pabu. They finally said the M word. Mm. Omega may be force sensitive. More on that later. We get kind of a training montage. It was pretty sick. Nick, aside from the obvious. Mm-hmm. What was your big takeaway from this? What was the most hard hitting for you?
I mean, I just in general, I guess because she was just there right away, I was like, are they going to explain anything? And they didn't. So I was just real like, what, not explain anything, but explain where she was, where she's been. So I guess maybe the rest of the season will kind of find things out, because I'm still thinking of the trailer and like we haven't seen Caleb Doom yet. So is there going to be a force theme, like not theme, but a force theme for the rest of the season, you know, like
a theme of the force.
Yeah. The theme of the force. So I dig it. I like kind of the fake out of Omega being force sensitive and having midichlorians. And then it seemed like that wasn't the case. But then I think Asajj kind of was vague at the end. She might've been lying. And I think Crosshair called her out on possibly lying about the midichlorian count. So
yeah,
I liked it. I just think that it just, like I said earlier, I think it struck a little bit of a nerve with me, because I think in my head, Mandalorian season 3, there was some really cool things that happened that I didn't feel like we earned getting them. Mm-hmm. And this reminded me of that a little bit, where it was just like, wow, this is really cool, but where did this come from? So
right.
That's where Asajj and Ryan, you're right. You know, it's just, it's a 26 minute show, you know, it's like, you just got to get into it. So It just makes me more excited. Next week's a double episode. So probably means something awesome's coming.
Big stuff.
Teeing it up. Yeah. Definitely more debate to come on whether or not she's force sensitive, what Asajj's intentions are, all kinds of stuff a little later in the episode. Ryan, before you give your initial thoughts, I'll ask you.
I've just got like word vomit. You're going to have to tell me to stop talking. I have many thoughts.
While you're word vomiting, pull up the note if you don't already have it, because since we're missing one Mike Forrester because his parents are in town doing old people stuff. I think they were playing dominoes.
His parents said, no podcasting, kid.
Yeah, that's enough of that kid crap. This might be your night for stolen plans, Ryan Key. So pull that up.
Okay, note is open, but is this where you want me to talk about stuff? Not my I love you, I know, but my impressions of the episode?
Yeah, give us your initial thoughts.
All right. I don't know how to not give away like an I love you, I know, because I don't know if I have one specific thing. I mean, I think I do. But man, so many things. And I'm usually not, I think, the one on our program that finds so many things. But this is like one of my favorite episodes of The Bad Batch of all time.
Nice.
I was just in Dagobah and I was on Octo the whole time. And I noticed a few things. So obviously
Don't get into details. Tell us your feelings. We got them all listed. We'll talk about them later. It's coming. Don't put the cart before the horse.
So don't talk about touching the sea monster. We will.
I think you've given your emotions.
I was so ready to see this. I didn't know how ready I was for this moment for Omega, even though she didn't display any particular evidence of using the Force. Finally reaching this, I don't know, this like release that we've been waiting for of at least a conversation on the show in the script about her Force abilities.
Yeah.
It's here and it's real now. And to think all the way back to the beginning of the show, which is, you know, it makes me a little emotional how the journey we're on with this podcast and how excited we were 3 years ago when this show came out and we had this to cover as like new Star Wars. We felt this in our bones in the beginning. And so it's just so validating, I think, to see this episode. And I thought, Asajj was incredible in this episode. I love seeing, which we've seen before, the bad guy turn good in her kind of thing. But like just seeing that again was so special. And it feels like obviously the more good has, you know, there is good in her still. I mean, there's so much like Star Wars lore in this 26 minute long episode of this animated series. And I'm bummed I only got to watch it once, honestly, because as I was watching it, you're trying to calm me down and not get the cart before the horse, because I, even just in one viewing, there were so many moments where I was like, oh, that's that. And oh, that's that. And I'm inside your brain, Dave Filoni. And I just wish I could have watched it one more time before we started recording, but I have a 3-month-old and that's just not in the cards.
Yeah. I watched it again immediately before this. I finished it at like 5 till.
Same.
And just like you're saying, all of those things, as they're coming out of everyone's mouths, you're like, it's that. And it's double the second time. There are so many more details. They're everywhere because the way they're spread out a little bit, it's hard to catch it all. But when you're looking for it, it's like every sentence is a callback almost. It's pretty sick. All right, let's again, keep the horse.
I haven't looked at the note. I will. I haven't looked at the note, but I have one thing that wasn't a line that I don't know if you is like in the den or anything like that. So I almost hope it isn't, so that for once on this show, you guys might be like, oh, good job, Ryan. You found something.
Well, I feel like a lot of things that we typically put in the den, you know, callbacks and things, I have in the discussion because there's just more to
talk
about.
It's like too many. Yeah.
You can't just list it. You know, it.
Cool.
Emotional conversations. All right. So let's get into stolen plans and then get right into talking.
What have you done with those plans?
Season 3, Episode 9, The Harbinger, debuted today, March 27th, 2024, on Disney+. New Disney+ logo. was very sick. I noticed it right away. Mm-hmm. It's on like your Apple TV too, like the actual Disney Plus home logo.
Yep, yep.
Great colors.
Disney Plus description: as the batch plans their next move, a mysterious stranger arrives. Runtime 27 minutes, directed by Stuart Lee, written by showrunner Jennifer Corbett. No new characters other than the return of Nika Futterman as Asajj Ventress with a new haircut. Pretty sick too. Do you guys know, was it notice like when they were underwater and she came out and she had like the Brad Pitt Fury cut going
yeah.
on?
Yeah, full mohawk. Yeah,
definitely.
She also voiced a Pabu villager.
Yeah, the only other character, right?
Yeah, and she kind of sounded like Omega too.
At the beginning, she had an accent.
Right? Like she had a New Zealand accent,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Interesting. All right. While we're talking about Ventress returning, let's get straight into it. Let's get straight into discussion. How did Ventress find them? She says, I have my ways. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been told that Pabu is a safe place. We've also, though, on the other side of the coin, been waiting to see when this like aerial attack is going to happen that we saw in the trailer very quickly. Mm-hmm. Any ideas? Have you guys thought about this?
I don't know. I have no clue. And at the end of the episode, she says something along the lines of, you guys should leave because you're not as safe here as you think.
Right.
So that's kind of, it's a little sketchy. I really have no clue because who else would know where they are? I mean, that's why they're always there, because they just feel safe and they're like off the grid sort of.
Have other clones been there?
I'm not sure.
Like, has Hauser been there?
I don't remember.
Did someone rat them out? Did they extract some information?
I think this doesn't work because of the tests. Like, she's there and she does the tests and she's it seems that she's legitimately trying to discern whether or not Omega is truly force sensitive, if her M count is high enough and all. But like, there's the concept of like force time, right? Force timing each other, or like being connected through the force. Like, Asajj is wicked powerful with the force, and mm-hmm. is there anything to like simplify it? Is just that she that I have my ways is I was able to sense that you were here. I don't know.
Yeah, that is a good call. That is a good call.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, I like because that. Because we have it that we don't know what, you know, the level of midichlorian is in her blood, and we don't know what her force sensitivity is. When I'm speaking about Omega, but we know that it's something. I mean, we know, you know, the whole early in the season, the whole blood vial dial episode. I mean, we know that there's something going on with her blood that makes her very, very important. We've always known this, but I'm just saying it's confirmed that right. She's very, very important. So I think in my mind, that is actually what I thought while watching the show. When she said, I have my ways, I thought that was a sly sort of, I'm one with the force and I can find you. I knew she was here.
And or, you know, she doesn't have a blue or green lightsaber in hand. It's yellow. She's still riding the line. Mm-hmm. Is she still messing with the magics?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is she looking into the crystal ball, so to speak, into mm-hmm. the pool? You know what I mean? Like, she's really working the force.
Yeah.
Clearly.
There was, let me see who said it in, I was going to leave it for favorite moments. So physics buddy Joe said, there was a lot of light and dark in this episode, and there mm-hmm. is the final conversation between Ventress on the left hand of the screen and the batch on the right hand of the screen is literally just Ventress is in a shadow and the other guy and the batch is in the light. So,
dude,
you know, she might not be able to be trusted here. So,
yeah, because that's at the front of the episode as well. When she's in the cave, you can see it. This could be a subtle thing. This could be very much intentional. Because, you know, caves are used in mythology. I mean, it's a big archetypal device. You know what I mean? Trials in caves, caves.
I mean, Omega is literally walking into the cave to begin her trials.
Exactly.
It's intense, yeah. Dude.
Dragons in caves, it's all intense. Kinds of stuff. It's like all over mythology. And the first few shots, Ventress, it's almost complete blackness behind her in the cave. And it flips to the opposite angle of the batch, and they have sunlight. And sky and all this like warmth and light behind them. So the deeper metaphor, if you really want to get heady with it, is that Ventress is actually coming out of the dark from this dark past, this mm-hmm. dark history, and the Bad Batch is coming out of a time of glory. And, you know, they're like war heroes, you know, the Grand Army of the Republic. They're going away from the light into this dark time mm-hmm. the imperial era. So I thought that was beautiful. That was kind of striking to me at the beginning. I didn't notice the end part, Nick. Is it when they're standing at the ship, or what is it?
It's, I'm pretty sure, the, like, their last conversation.
It's like when she's saying goodbye and telling them that they should yeah. leave because they're not as safe as they thought they were. Mm-hmm.
Got it.
And yeah, there's, I thought, Nick, too, I thought, like, does that mean she's like double, she's, you know, bait and switching them? It's a double cross of a triple cross of the double cross. Like she's like yeah. going to tell, you know, but I don't think so. I do, Adam, I think it's more metaphoric, like you're talking about in that, like, they're using the lighting to sort of continue to tell the story of the emotional journey of the characters, not that yeah. Ventress is like a double agent and she's about to go turn, you know, yeah. stab them in the back. Because I think she just saw so much in Omega. Like she's not stabbing them in the back.
Yeah.
I don't think.
She also can't really, like, if the Empire is searching for people with high midichlorian counts, she can't go hand her over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, she's definitely on the list.
She can't show her face. Yeah.
You can't be a drug dealer and like bring a dude who tried to shoot you to the police station, you know?
The cave though, I mean, once the episode progressed, and I know we're going to get into all these throwbacks, but like, as the episode progressed, the cave, I mean, that dude, I was just...
Remember your failure dude, in the cave?
Dude, the cave and the cave underneath the island, you know, yes. that Ray... I don't know if it's in the notes. I just want to talk. I'm not looking. I have a Ray thing that just blew my mind. So carry on.
It's great stuff. Ventress, in keeping with this hope that she is truly, if not good, you know, at least not evil,
mm-hmm.
you know, she says straight up, I'm not your enemy. She doesn't want to kill them. She doesn't attempt to kill them, even though she could. Omega points that out. Omega talks about having forgiven Crosshair despite all of his like
dude,
legitimate
when
war
she
crimes.
Said, I didn't ever give up on you, did I? Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, take that, bud. She says to the Bad Batch, Ventress does, we were pawns in the same war and we all lost. Very Maul-esque.
Great line.
The Empire is more dangerous than you could possibly fathom. So the dramatic irony here is they have no clue. They don't know what an M count is, that they don't know what a Sith is, you know?
Mm-hmm. And you get the feeling that she's been like on the run. Like she's, yeah. she knows how dangerous they are. They're hunting anyone with Force abilities.
Which makes me hope that the stuff with Quinlan and the path is already in motion and she's already reunited with him. We'll talk about that later. She says, I am many things, but I am not your enemy.
Mm. So that to me is she's not, I mean, yeah, the bigger picture of like, she can't do it because they'll catch her and they'll, you know, she's Force sensitive, but that's like her character really validating and turning to the light.
Yeah.
I'm not your enemy. I mean, no, that's not a dark side user's line, no. You know?
Hey everyone. We want to take a moment to tell you about the sponsor of this podcast, Roosevelt's.
You may know Roosevelt as the company who makes those rad all-over print button-downs with just about every franchise that you love.
They, of course, have Star Wars, because this is a Star Wars podcast, but they also have Harry Potter, Disney, Pixar, Marvel, NASA, WWE, The Office, Nickelodeon, Rick and Morty, Friends, all kinds of other stuff, including new lines from Yellowstone and The Godfather.
And not just button-downs, but t-shirts. They do shorts, jackets, hoodies, koozies, flannels, so many different kinds of items, so many dope designs. So if you're interested in picking something up for the first time, go to rsvlts.com and use promo code THANKTHEMAKER with no spaces to get 20% off your first purchase. Once again, that's rsvlts.com. Use promo code THANKTHEMAKER to get 20% off of your first purchase.
Let's get into this testing in the cave, the trials, so to speak. So Ventress tests Omega's M count and abilities. They said the word. They finally said the word.
It's so funny. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay.
She says, I can't determine your midichlorian levels without testing you. Omega asks her to be tested. Here we go, Ryan. She says she can handle it, which is a great callback to Luke on Dagobah, I'm not afraid. And Ventress says the truth is rarely comforting. What is that? That calls back to something else.
You will be.
I guess that's that too.
I mean, it's her saying you don't want to find out because you will be scared.
F around and find out. M count around and find out. She wants to know if that's why the Empire's been after her. She says, I need to know what I am, which of course is reminiscent of Rey on Octo. I need someone to show me my place in all of this. Three tests. Ventress does three tests. Again, Octo, Luke. Balance on one foot on a slippery rock with an apple on top of your head. balance and focus, I'm assuming, right? Focus, you know, keeping attention away from surrounding stuff, right? Go get a flower from the top of the mountain. That seems like a test of will. That doesn't seem like a...
And I feel like she cheated too. So I was like, that's not very Jedi.
Yeah. Or is she testing like determination, resourcefulness? Like there could be...
I mean, it's resourceful.
But we're not finding out if she's a Jedi. We're finding out if she's force sensitive, which could involve... let us remember, Luke was a whiny little bee and then all of a sudden was wearing all black and was a Jedi master. Like, get there as quick as you need to. The Jedi is a blurry thing now.
Yeah.
Especially now, you know?
The next one, the final one, get in the boat, loser. We're going to go reach out to the Force and talk to aquatic wildlife. I mean, that's just the straight up Force sensitivity test, I suppose, of the three. But they're all reminiscent of different tests we've seen in the past. Luke with Rey. Yoda with Luke in terms of, you know, he didn't lay it out like that, but he did put him through a few different things.
She says, it's a waste of time.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't even know what I'm doing here. I'm wasting my time. I mean, it was just...
So here's the list.
So I go. But I just, I was going to say, when I say right now, I don't mean in the timeline of Star Wars, because obviously this is before that. I just mean for the storytellers right now, for them to be able to pull from those moments in the past for us to like bring back and make us feel these emotions again by telling the same story with different characters in a new way. It's so sick.
Enough questions. Concentrate. That's, of course, Yoda. Clear your mind of questions, right? It's too slippery. It's too far away. The sun's already started, blah, blah, blah. This is all Luke whining. You know, this is a waste of our time. It's all of that just kind of distributed differently. You know, it's too far away and the sun's already started. All of this this complaining about what can't be done.
And that is why you fail.
Exactly. And then Ventress turns around. She communicates with the big sea monster. And Omega's like, you actually did it. And she says, don't sound so surprised. It's just, it's fully like, just like smart ass, dark side leaning Yoda, you know, it's just like snarky Ventress versions of all of that. And it's so dope.
Ken, this is super far fetched, I think, but I thought about it when she put her hand on that sea monster. And is there an instance that you can think of? Maybe because maybe in all 9 billion episodes of Clone Wars, there's one that I'm not thinking of, but is there something you can think of other than baby Ahsoka, Rey with the snake thing, and this, where the actual like force touch communication with a some type of beast or monster or animal that was meant to do harm, that connection was formed? Though that while I was watching it, I thought about Rey and I thought about from Tales of the Jedi when baby Ahsoka, and I only bring it up to say that Ahsoka and Rey are both not—they're not Jedi. They're not the classic trained, right? They have—you can't say Ahsoka has any dark side blood in her. That's not really. But Rey, I just thought of Asajj and Rey, and like how Rey has this conflicting bloodline in her, and she's good and bad.
Here's one: Grogu and the Rancor.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, right.
And then there's Ezra and the Purrgil.
There you go.
Yeah.
Also not a Jedi.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anything to that. It's just like there's all these sort of like anti-Jedi that are doing good that have been able to reach out and touch a creature to like calm them and stop them. And we've never seen, I don't recall ever seeing a Jedi in robes that's just like, I am a light side user. That's it. I'm a Jedi.
Yeah.
Do that. So I don't know. I thought there was something to that, to Asajj being not, she doesn't subscribe to one creed, you know, and therefore she's like more in tune with the wild. She's more in tune with like
a natural connection.
Nature. Yes, it's a natural connection to the Force. Yeah. Exactly. It's not an indoctrinated connection to the Force.
Here's the final and best example: making physical contact with an animal. If you need some green milk, there's only one way to get it. It's through physical contact.
Pump it out. Well, I thought also in that moment, I was thinking about Luke and the Rancor and how he had no idea what to do.
Yeah.
And he had been trained, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely not, it doesn't seem like a traditionally trained temple Jedi kind of thing at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any of us have read enough stuff, you know, enough off-screen stuff to really make that call, but
yeah,
I'm with you on that for sure. All right, the big question, is Omega Force sensitive or not? We're not going to fully answer it here, but here's some things to consider. Let's discuss. She has a high M count. We've established that. Or does she? I don't know. Her blood is a candidate for the thing that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
This is still slightly up for debate. Ventress says, when describing what a midichlorian count or what midichlorians are, she says it's something in the blood. Everyone has it, but at varying levels. Those with a high count were believed to be more capable of wielding the force.
It's great hearing the words "everyone has it" because I feel like
I don't.
We talk about that all the time. Yeah. You know, like you bring up Han and all this stuff. It's like, yeah, I mean, that's really cool to hear that because I don't remember an instance where it was just like, yeah, no, everyone has it.
Well,
Hunter says, the force? You mean Jedi? And Omega.
I think everything has it. That's how
it's in all
that's
living
the
things.
Living force.
Yeah.
Yes. Go ahead.
And Omega, you know, she blows her cover because she's trying to play like, oh, I'm asking for a friend. She says, you're saying I'm a Jedi? She says, of course not. Your blood doesn't make you a Jedi. You'd have to be trained for that. And I've never known a clone to be force sensitive, but clearly none of you are normal. The Kaminoans did make millions of you, so I suppose it's possible. Agreed. I mean, all of that stuff supports, Nick, like you just said, our kind of general thoughts, our general philosophy that we talk about all the time. And it's in line with, like, the idea that Sabine could be trained. So I think this question of, like, whether or not someone is Force-sensitive, I have a feeling that they're just not going to answer it, or they're going to address it in a more, like, well, what do you think kind of way, and she will prove herself or not.
Like, we're not going to get my dream thing of her, like, stopping a ship from crashing or something and killing Wrecker, you know? Like, she's just all of a sudden going to...
Or maybe...
Maybe we do.
Or maybe she, because she's got this, she seems to have this empathy, this, like, emotional intelligence. Maybe it'll be the kind of thing where she reaches out and she saves someone by speaking to them through the Force in a moment of panic, and they know to move, and that's what saves that person or the whole thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That would be as cool in a different way, I think.
Did you guys notice the one musical cue where I think she was balancing on a rock with the apple on her head and the first two notes? Yeah, the first two notes.
Yeah. So that's...
Bro, this is why we're friends.
So that's her theme, but the first two notes are undeniable. So has that been her theme the whole time with that clue just dangling... And none of us picking up on it until, like, it got isolated in that, like, flute version.
It was remarkable. It was like, oh, is this happening? And then it didn't.
It was rather pronounced.
Yep.
Interesting thing. When Hunter says, what do you want with Omega? Ventress says, maybe I'll take her off your hands. That was giving me, like, kind of Maul and Ezra vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe this is my new apprentice.
Yeah, I mean, when you are, you know, think about Jedi and Youngling, like you're literally taken from your home. So it could have just been exactly an apprentice.
But then at the end, Ventress tells her she doesn't have a high M count. But I also called bullshit immediately. Like, this is some Matrix Oracle stuff again.
There is no spoon.
Kind of like Hu Yang with Sabine. I felt like that was a callback to that. Even if Hu Yang was being genuine, I don't know. I got the impression that he was kind of telling her what she needed to hear. And maybe this is just what Omega needs to hear, or what the Bad Batch needs to hear. Because ultimately, like, they're going to have to, I was about to say they're going to have to give her up at some point, but maybe not, because she's older than them. She's going to outlive them. She's not going to be an adult until they're old as hell. I don't know.
They're all going to die.
They're all going to die. They're like her dogs, you know? She's going to outlive them. And then Crosshair responds, you know, to Ventress saying she doesn't have a high M count. He says, you're lying. And Ventress says, if Omega did have that potential, she'd have to be trained, which would mean you'd be leaving her behind.
Which is exactly why you call bullshit on her saying she doesn't have a high M count. She contradicts herself in the next line that she speaks.
Yeah.
I also saw that as a way of her protecting the Bad Batch, like her kind of projecting that they're not going to want to lose her. Like, they're not going to want to give her up. So she said that to be like, listen, you're not going to want to get rid of her. So I'm not going to tell her that she could be a Jedi because she's going to want to leave or something.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That would be very on brand for Omega to like look at them and be like, trust me, I'm leaving. You know, I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
I have to go do this. I have, she's got that wandering spirit, that adventure in her. I mean, after they, you know, fight that giant crustacean thing mm-hmm. in the ocean, she gets on the ship and she's like, oh, that was kind of fun.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I mean, yeah. She's going to leave. You're right. She would. Yeah. If Asajj was like, you are not a Jedi, but you have it and I can train you. Come with me. I think she would say, sorry, boys, I got to go.
She definitely seems to be playing kind of both sides of it. And maybe this is from her Sith training. You know, you kind of, you know, the way they ultimately, like Palpatine was setting up Dooku and Anakin as potential, and whoever came out on top was going to be his apprentice, right? So having learned that, when she says, even if you have force potential, they can't show you how to tap into it.
Mm-hmm.
So in one breath, she's saying, you don't, and don't worry about it, kid. This is, you're just a shit show. And on the other hand, she's like, well, if you do, I'm the one, you know? So
mm-hmm.
it's like kind of win-win for her. She doesn't have to commit, but then if Omega proves herself, she can commit with less risk.
I love the idea that now, I don't know how much of this we'll see, but or how much will be written, but Omega is forever changed by this.
Yeah.
She's never going to stop thinking about this. It's never going to leave her mind that she's wondering if she has it or not, you know?
Well, one thing too, is that the first time she saw the Force, there hasn't been an instance where she saw the Force, right? I don't think there is.
I wonder that, like how she, even the word Jedi, how many times has she heard that and who does she hear it from?
I mean, she walked in and saw Asajj holding Wrecker in the air, like force choking him. I mean, straight up Darth Vader force choking him. So,
but aside
from,
he
had his hands around his neck, like,
but aside from Palpatine's big speech where they were all in the room, I assume she was there too. I don't remember, right? It's season one, episode two or one or two or three or whatever.
Yeah.
Hunt down all the remaining Jedi or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like how much has she heard about Jedi? Anybody in the chat? Let us know if you can remember a time, because it does like give notes of Rey. You know, the Jedi were real. Luke Skywalker, I thought he was a myth, that kind of thing. All right. Anything else before we get into the den? Because we have some Ventress backstory stuff to talk about in that.
No, we're good.
All right, let's do it.
For over 1,000 generations.
It is the Darksaber.
Torgon Togosh.
It's a Kalikori.
A Sith wayfinder.
Dark science. Cloning. Secrets only the Sith knew.
Back to you, Nick Gambarian.
All right. Before we get into some of the deeper Dark Disciple talk, we could talk about Ventress's snake logo on her shoulder pauldron. There are a lot of animatics for this era of Ventress's look, because Dark Disciple, the novel, was originally a Clone Wars arc. Her look right now comes from Clone Wars Season 4 concept art, and from StarWars.com, it says it was chosen since snakes are an often misunderstood creature that are assumed to be dangerous or evil when in fact they are not. And if you did notice, the snake on her shoulder did look like the same shape. I don't know if shape is the right word, as the sea monster's eye.
Yeah, the retina.
And they did focus on that too, which was kind of strange.
Or not the retina, the pupil, like that squiggly pupil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kind of interesting.
You got right up in it, you're right, yeah.
So then, something we've been asking for months, how is Asajj alive? We still don't really know. Everyone assumed she died in this novel, Dark Disciple. And like I said, that was a Clone Wars arc that had animatics. It was written. Clone Wars was canceled and it never became a TV show or an arc in the TV show. So Christy Golden wrote the book. She wrote a bunch of Legends novels and short stories, a few canon novels and short stories, including Battlefront 2 Inferno Squad. So the story of Dark Disciple mostly revolves around Asajj Ventress and Jedi Master Quinlan Vos. Takes place 19 years before the Battle of Yavin. And basically the Jedi Council decides that Dooku needs to go. Kind of harsh for the Council, but it was the Clone Wars. So Yoda actually decides that Dooku needs to be assassinated. So he sends Quinlan and he teams up with Asajj to kill Count Dooku. And there's a couple of failed attempts along the way. The two of them fall in love. And also at a certain point, Asajj teaches Quinlan the ways of the dark side, knowing that he's such a good Jedi that he's not going to be able to take someone's life for no reason or whatever. So Asajj basically teaches him how to tap into the dark side, which kind of slightly backfires because he really does become dark side for a bit. And in the final assassination attempt, Dooku is pretty much beaten, but Quinlan has that all too familiar, like, take me to your leader, take me to Sidious because I want to kill him too, because I want to gain power. That typical, like, seeing all the power that you could have, mm-hmm. which all of that backfires. Dooku shoots some force lightning at Asajj, at Quinlan. Asajj blocks it, and for what we knew at the time, killing Asajj with the force lightning. So what's interesting here is, I haven't read the book, but everyone assumed she was dead. Asajj was dead.
Yeah, except for the line that you're about to read. Yeah. That, I mean, come on.
She is brought to Dathomir. She's laid to rest by Quinlan Vos and Obi-Wan in a dark pool. Night Sister magic. We all know that she's a Night Sister. Mm-hmm. And as Ventress's body enters the waters, the pool turns green and the voices of the spirits of the deceased Night Sisters are heard welcoming Ventress back. So, you know, it's vague.
Yeah.
From a certain point of view, right?
Yeah. So my first thought is when they've reanimated people in the past, they've been full zombie style. We saw it in the Clone Wars. We saw it in Ahsoka. So, I mean, it's hard to say. Who knows? They could completely just write some stuff from scratch. But at the same time, there is a detail that I read about. Obi-Wan and Quinlan had her in stasis kind of while they were, I guess, reporting to the council. So there's like a little bit of time goes by. It's not like she dies and they go straight to Dathomir. You know, they're kind of, they go back to the council and I think there's a trial for Quinlan because he, you know, having used the dark side, obviously they're concerned, right? So I don't know the details, but in that time, her body's kind of held in stasis. And then they take her to Dathomir for burial. So is there a chance that she did not actually die? And in that meantime, she was, you know, they had her in a Bacta tank. They had something and she was
something
near death, but not dead. And then taking her back to Dathomir was like suppose she's in a coma, right? Like we can't do much else. Let's take her back to Dathomir. Maybe they can do something. They put her in a pool. She lives.
Well, even if they thought she was dead and she wasn't, if that's the theory that you have, yeah. And sure could be. I mean, William Shakespeare wrote a play that everyone on the planet knows where the hero was lying next to his love and she was and couldn't tell that she was still alive.
Right.
I mean, fantasy, obviously, but nonetheless, I mean, aren't there real life stories of like old men and women who they're like, oh, that's it. Put them in the box. And then they're like,
hello,
let me out. So I mean,
I'm feeling better.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's so little oxygen going in that you just can't tell, but it's going in.
And then at the end, she says in response to, I forgot which one of the batch says something about the Empire coming to get her. And she says, they can try, but I've got a few lives left. Yeah, that's a clever line, and that's pulling from, like, you know, both cats have 9 lives or whatever you would say in this universe. But maybe there's something to that more literally. Maybe she's actually alluding to something more literal.
I don't think it's cloning anymore, but whenever I hear lives, I don't know. Cloning exists in Star Wars, so I'm keeping, like, that door open. I don't really think that that's what's happening here. Because I think it's more likely it's a Magix Night Sister scenario. Mm-hmm. I hope we find out. I hope that the quote from a couple of weeks back or months back when we saw the trailer in StarWars.com, like Jennifer Corbett and all, and Brad Rao, I think, said, like, we are respecting the canon from Dark Disciple.
Right.
I hope that this line that we just read isn't necessarily what they're talking about, where it's like, oh, there's wiggle room there. We respected that. You know, like, I hope there is some sort of reason given.
Yeah.
If not, though, I'm going to go with that, Adam, that little tidbit you found. And the I've got lives left is just a fun, like, sarcastic remark on her way out. You know, I've been through hell. That's basically what that means. Like, don't worry about me. I'll survive. I've already died once. I can handle it again, kind of thing, you know?
That could also be a reference to the fact that when you turn to the dark side, your old self kind of dies. She turns away. Mm-hmm. That version of her dies as well. You know, it could be alluding to multiple things. Yeah. Either way, she's back. And I hope she's back for a while, because the way it ties in with Quinlan, and Quinlan having been part of the path, and also to you, Ryan, having played Jedi Fallen Order and Jedi Survivor, knowing that Cal Kestis founded the path, the hidden path,
mm-hmm.
there's just so much fun potential. And even though this is the last season of this series, I hope there's another animated series brewing that isn't just Tales of the Jedi or something.
There has to be.
Like the path. The path itself could be an animated series. And we'll cover it, of course, on this podcast. Why wouldn't we? It'd be stupid if we didn't. All right, bingo card results. Guess what? Nothing. Good job.
You're hired.
Zach the Maker, good reference there. I've died before. Palpatine's quote from The Rise of Skywalker. I do need to post the bingo card results. I haven't done that yet because it's just been so dismal and it's embarrassing. So I was waiting till we had a few more, but somebody in the chat, I forgot who's doing it, which one of the patrons is doing it, has a tally going, and it doesn't look as bad as I thought it did, so maybe I'll do it this week and give everybody a status update.
I love you.
I know.
Favorite scenes, favorite moments, favorite quotes. Ryan Key, you want to go first?
Sure. It's just hard with this one. Because there were some really great moments and quotes that like threw back to, I mean, really the original trilogy and the Luke and Yoda training. You know, that's where I was living in my mind the whole episode. But there weren't quotes that were like so poignant that like really jumped out, you know, even within that. So I guess I would go with, you actually did it. Don't sound so surprised.
Nice.
I mean, because to me, that was just, you know, I loved obviously the moment up leading up to that. I rambled on about whatever random theory I just had about how Luke couldn't reach out and touch the Rancor, but why can these other, you know, non-Jedi Force users do this with these beasts? So I was like really into that moment, and I thought it was that any time when we've been living in, you know, the Bad Batch with all the combat and the blasters, and then you get this moment of peace and this moment of connection to the Force, it's super impactful. And so I was in the zone, and then to have that exchange of, you actually did it, don't sound so surprised, literally being, I can't believe it, that is why you fail. That, I mean, it was just really, that in itself was pretty poignant to me, even though I feel like don't sound so surprised is not as rad as that is why you fail. But yeah, I really loved that moment when Omega realized how powerful the Force actually is.
Don't act so surprised, Your Highness. You weren't on a mercy mission or whatever. Nick.
Hello. There.
You go ahead and do yours, and I'll do mine, then do the patrons.
I have one scene, one quote. I love how not one member of the Bad Batch hits Asajj at all during when they were fighting. She beat the hell out of them.
Whooped them.
Mm-hmm. They did not get one lick in at all.
No. Nope.
So funny. And then there was something last night when I was watching it about this quote that I liked because I just thought it was badass. Close your eyes and reach out, Asajj says. Omega says, for what? And Asajj says, everything. And I was like, everything. Badass. But then when I was rewatching it again today, it reminded me of in Rise of Skywalker when Kylo is talking to Palpatine. And I think Kylo says something like, what can you give me, or what can you do for me? And he just says, everything. You know,
it's
and
it's same like, thing.
Yeah, it's, yeah, it's so cool. So those are definitely my favorite too.
My favorite quote, I think, is the Ventress quote that calls back to the Maul discussion with Ahsoka. We were pawns in the same war, and we all lost. The Empire is more dangerous than you can possibly fathom. I thought that was so sick.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I can't call this a single scene, but the sequence from the training to the discussion afterwards, all of it in there, all these, like Ryan, you're saying, tons of little bits that aren't necessarily poignant, but all of the callbacks and the tone of it that whole middle section, you know, put aside the sea monster thing, put aside the bigger parts. It's just like the discussions, the acknowledgments, the score, like all that midsection stuff is just so great to me. But I do love I do love the Empire. Like any of that, like acknowledgement of what Palpatine did and finding common ground, even though you're maybe enemies, is so sick. It's like the best kind of dramatic tension in writing. That stuff with Maul and Ahsoka in the final season of the Clone Wars is top tier Star Wars. So this gets filed in that same folder, and I love it. What about the patrons? What are their favorites, Nick?
Well, thanks to all the patrons for being super organized. Physics Buddy Joe got the favorite moment started off when he said, when Crosshair held out his hand and helped Omega, I was on the edge of my seat to see if he'd offer a hand to Asajj too. Then on the edge of my seat again to see if she'd accept the hand. Huge character growth for both. And I think they both know that a year ago, neither of them would have been like this. I can't really tell if she accepts Crosshair's hand. It's kind of like a, you know, like she does grab his hand, but also kind of looks like she pushes it down a little bit. So I don't know if that's like a clean, I'm accepting your help, like walking up the ramp sort of thing. So
she pushed, what you didn't see off screen is she pushed it down and turned around and farted on it.
Yeah. Easter egg.
We were making a really good podcast.
Director's cut. You guys didn't notice that? It was in the director's cut. Oh, it was in the screener that we got because we're a huge podcast.
Yeah.
You're 8 years old.
We get the fart versions. They're like, oh yeah, thank the maker, give them the fart episode.
The fart batch.
My nerd story says, favorite quote is, Omega, if she's as bad as you say, why didn't she kill you when she had the chance? And Wrecker replies, oh, we were just getting warmed up. And they say that it reminded of the Black Knight in Monty Python.
Yes. It's just a flesh wound.
Yeah. In the Shadows of the Empire says, what similar to what we like, they can try, but I've got a few lives left. That was their favorite line. TK Ryan is loving the wise sensei Asajj. Gorgeously animated, easily beating the hell out of the batch. Yes, very easy. I think I saw like an MMA armbar in there too. There was something going on.
And then what's the thing where you you know, over the shoulder like the stunner something kind of thing? You
get
the,
like, I didn't
the arch
see a
back thing where you slam. Was that a thing?
I have to watch again. I didn't notice.
The armbar was full effect though. Could have snapped it.
And K Dykeman 1990 says that they loved the sunset, which was beautiful. The animation, always good in the Bad Batch. Also partial to yellow lightsabers. That's another, you know, that's 2 weeks in a row we've gotten some yellow lightsabers, which is great, between the Acolyte and Asajj. And also the quote, many who wield the Force have an affinity for nature. They connect with things that respond to their energy, which is very cool.
I mean, it's like, it's just Yoda and Luke. Yeah. It was so good. Yeah. It was so good. Luminous beings are we, not this crude matter. I mean, it was a simpler, again, for a younger audience, explanation of these things.
In the words of Master Jedi Nick Hexum, amber is the color of your energy, you know?
Happy belated 311 day, everyone. wrapping up with a favorite moment from Stacey Leanne, the quote from Omega, I never gave up on you, did I, to Crosshair.
Nailed him.
Yeah, man. That look on his face with the toothpick, I'm so glad he's back, dude. It's just elevated the show.
Absolutely.
His turn, you know.
Till he's dead. All right.
Yep.
You're on one right now, bro.
I'm just really feeling it. All right. Next week, speaking of dark stuff, the Empire is coming to Pabu. It's happening. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't pair up two episodes without something big like that. We're going to see that aerial battle. It's going to get gnarly. It's going to be sick. My prediction is I'm going to change out all my bingo squares, and it's going to say, these episodes are sick, and then I just get to check them all.
How many episodes do we have left?
There's 15, right? We're on 9.
Okay.
And we have 2 next week, though. Yeah.
I'm feeling the last 4, you know, like the final 4 of Clone Wars. I think it's going to be
a mini movie.
No more giant crustaceans in the ocean. No. It's just going to really, really going to take it home.
Yeah, it's either going to finish strong and we're all going to be happy, or it's not and we're all going to be sad. It can only go two ways. I think it's going to be great.
I have a little bit of unfortunate news. I have no Wednesdays off on tour.
Ugh.
So it's going to be a little tricky for me to record. I'm sure I'll figure it out here and there, but no Wednesdays off.
When do you leave?
I leave this Sunday. Our first show is a week from tonight in Pittsburgh.
Well, I'll call in a bomb threat on the night of the finale, so you can be there.
Is that a force majeure? Do we still get our money?
Yeah, I think so.
I would only not be able to record Wednesdays daytime for like the middle 2 weeks of April, depending on how many weeks we have left. So we could move it up, like the time up, and I could just not be there for those 2 weeks or but.
We'll figure it out. I'm bringing all my stuff with me.
Yeah, we'll sort it.
We could move up the recording time for everyone.
Either way, we'll figure it out. We'll cover it all the way to the end. And then we got only a little bit of downtime. Then we got the Acolyte coming up.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a month, right? When was it? June what?
Yeah, I guess so. It's going to be quick.
It's only about a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll be like 4 weeks off of no new content.
Perfect.
How it should be. All right, everybody, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Patrons, thanks for being patrons and participating. We appreciate you. We love you. And until next week, may the Force be with you. If you enjoy Thank the Maker, you can support us by following and leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Or you can support us directly at patreon.com/thankthemakerpod. where you can get access to our Discord server, exclusive content, exclusive merch, our recording live stream, and more. Our patrons quite literally make Thank the Maker possible.